3, 2, 1.
Robin Wall Kimmerer, one of the greatest human teachers we have, this audio postcard is a little thank you to you. I'm Crystal Frotten, a student at the University of Utah, and I join dozens of my fellow students who wish to express our gratitude to you for sharing your gift of writing with us and passing along the gifts of plants and indigenous wisdom. This past semester, in a class called Gender and Nature, we read your book, Braiding Sweetgrass. But we didn't just read it. We practiced new ways of being with your guidance. We reflected on how our own origin stories have shaped our world understanding. We each spent an hour a day for 2 weeks with the flora or fauna of our choice, making it much more difficult to ignore our relationship, at least with that special chosen one, let alone to call them an it, and opening us up to listen to the lessons they have for us. When our professor, Kilo Zamora, would bring fresh fruit from his garden to share, he would assure us that he had asked for consent from the tomato plant. We went to Red Butte Garden, where we experienced the plants and their gifts through a new lens, acknowledging the Linnaean teachings we've been accustomed to as colonial constructs. Fellow students hosted a decolonized Thanksgiving, and one even made a Three Sisters dish with beans, corn, and squash. And on our last day of class together, we practiced a gift economy. Before our collective indoor howl for you, we had an opening circle where anyone who wanted to share their reflections from the semester could. I hope you'll forgive me for some of the audio quality. The recordings in this postcard were done in a full classroom and another one on a phone call. You may hear our professor's sweet dog Maple breathing heavily with her eyes on a cookie. I give you Avery.
And in this class, even like the 2 weeks we spent with our subject, our trees, or our flora or fauna or whatever we chose, that I feel like helped me, I don't know, it just brought me back to a part of me that I feel like I had lost for a while. So I've appreciated this class a lot.
My good friend Dan and I had a similar feeling.
Absolutely. If she does hear this, thank you, Kimmerer, for such a wonderfully well-written book, and thank you for sharing the ideas. There's new ideas in there. I know a lot of people, anybody that reads it will have a new, if they understand it, they'll have a new, you know, perspective, and that's very important. That's I think that's a big impact, and a very positive, big positive impact on everybody, so I appreciate the book.
And it's like, it's new, but it's like a remembering, right? It's like, it's new, but it's not. It's like, it's new and that, like, you didn't know that you had forgotten something so innate.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so true.
I've been friends with Dan for over a decade. We used to work together when I was in my early 20s. And now, even though he lives across the country and we rarely see each other, we still keep in touch through the changing seasons of life. Dan is the kind of friend that when you recommend a book, actually and immediately reads it. This seems rarer and rarer, and so special.
Kind of just the idea that's introduced in the book about animacy, like the difference in language and thinking about non-human things. And, you know, in the book, Kimmerer even talks about how, like, some traditions will refer to, like, all living beings as people, even non-human beings as people, like trees are people. I'm recalling the chapter on like Maple Nation, like all of those maples, what would happen if like maples or like a body of water had rights in a community, right? Like when they make up, when there's way more maples than humans, for example. So anyway, I'm just curious because you had mentioned before how much you liked the animacy aspect. Like, are you relating to the world around you any differently? You know, are you like, would you be willing or are you interested in talking about or referring to things as kin or ki, like Kimmerer instead of it? I'm just curious if animacy has had any impact on you.
Absolutely. And since reading this, and I think about this book every day. I go on walks around work. I do, you know, we have 15-minute breaks, and then we have, you know, our hour lunch break. But during the 15-minute breaks, I get outside to try to walk around, and our complex is just covered in trees. But I walk with other people, and I try to explain, because since reading this book, it really changes your perspective on the trees that you see around you, the plants that you see. And I think about the plants that are in my yard, too. You know, and it's hard to explain to other people, the people that I walk with.
I was going to say, how do they respond?
If you haven't read the book, it's kind of a foreign concept, and it's hard to understand. Some of the people know how to garden better than I do, but they, people down here, they have blueberry bushes. One of the people I walk with says they have nine blueberry bushes in their yard. And they kind of, the plants that they plant, sometimes they'll have some, like they'll plant more than they need because they know they're not all going to live. So they kind of have, you know, if I plant so many plants and so many die, and I'll have this many left. So they kind of understand that they have a responsibility to try to keep the plants alive, but they don't. They still kind of look at them as objects. You know, I have this many number of this plant, and I kind of try to explain. Oh, this could, there's a really good book about you know, connecting or you know how we can be related to the plants around us, really cool ideas, and they look at it kind of more like a, it's more like mysticism.
Mm.
They look at it kind of like more of like a mysticism type ideas or a naturalism or something.
Yeah.
Mysticism. This reminded me of your start in college when your advisor scoffed at your reasoning for wanting to study botany, the inexplicable beauty of goldenrod and asters growing together. It also reminded me of another one of my favorite chapters, Mishkos Kinemagwin, The Teachings of Grass. I hope I got that pronunciation right. Your student had such a hard time convincing the faculty committee of the validity of studying the impact of harvesting practices on sweetgrass. And that leads to just one more world-opening lesson you have given me in this book, that the living world would not be better off with our complete absence, but rather with an intentional reciprocal relationship of gifts. But if you knew me, you would know I had to get to my despair about the Wendigo, whether it be inhibitions or debilitating grief. Long before I read your book, I have frequently been in a state of deep despair about the Wendigo.
So reading this book and being in this class, Gender and Nature, it's this battle of different ways of being, right? It's, you know, you can read this book and want to fully embody it and be all these ways. And then there are these intense inhibitions that we've learned and go face to face with like our Western extractive norms, right? So like one of the really silly things in this class was you could get extra credit if you took a video of yourself howling at the full moon. And which is equal parts hilarious and sounds like, I don't know, liberatory or something. But listen, I really wanted to do this. Okay. I thought it was really silly at first, but then like, I really did want to do it. And I could have easily just like driven somewhere in the night during a full moon and done it like where people weren't around. But I really wanted, I wanted to just be free enough to just go outside my house and do it and not worry about the fact that my neighbors would hear me howling at the moon. But I didn't ever do it, right? Like my inhibitions were way too strong. I am the best policer of myself. And I feel like that's how this whole system works, is, you know, shaping our origin story and worldview so early that like you don't even have to maintain it. It's just maintained within all of us. Stay with me here. In our last class in this same gender nature class, we just kind of had a circle where if you wanted to share and reflect anything from the class, you could. And then we did a gift economy. And in our circle, my classmate Bridget commented about how she is no longer going to hide her love and gratitude for the world around her.
I've always connected with nature, and I've always had this love of everything around me, but I wasn't sure how to express it in a way that people would understand. And I feel like you guys really gave me that acceptance, or like this idea that it's okay to be a certain way, because today is the first day that everyone is living today. And I really think that I'm going to look at the mountain and thank it every time I see it, because I feel like I took it for granted. And so this class has just really made me really appreciate things around me and stop trying to act a certain way. Because, for example, when I'm out with my mom hiking and I go, wow, this flower is beautiful. And I'll thank this beautiful flower for being incredible. My mom will be like, what are you doing? I'm not going to be like apologizing for the way that I am appreciating something. It might be different from the way she appreciates it, but I feel like to be more open about it. And I think that being more open about this is important. And I feel like that is what I've learned in this class.
It gets at the Wendigo and this like deep infiltration of our culture and our worldview that we face. I feel like it's very similar to politics, you know, when it comes to a lot of political things. I feel like we really have to combat how much organized propaganda there is. And damn, it is discouraging. The amount of pain I feel at the Wendigo, the amount of pain I feel about how I know animals are treated for our food supply and people are just completely cut off from having any empathy for these sentient, loving, intelligent beings. Like all of the roadkill I see up in Park City, dead baby deers on the side of the road, and we just drive past and that was someone's baby. And yet in this culture, to express and be that distraught by seeing your kin just left to die on the side of the road is kind of laughable. Or to see cattle being hauled away in a truck and care, you know, they're, I don't know. It all goes back to animacy again. The way we're taught to think of these things as it makes it almost cuckoo to care and still have empathy and gratitude and connection. You know, we both really enjoyed reading this book, and it was grounding and it felt good. But how do you feel about the actual state of the world we live in, and then trying to envision and hope and live better, you know?
Like, there is this connection we have with everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody's connected. Even if we're doing something small, you know, small gestures to other people or to the world around us, taking care of the environment, sometimes it can have a big impact, and bigger than we think it has. It's not always immediate. But it's so easy to go the other way, and I feel like it's so easy to destroy things. And even if you feel justified in some type of destruction or whatever it is, in the grand scheme of things, you're just hurting everyone. You know, there's, and it just takes a few to cause so much destruction.
Mm-hmm.
But just by not being those people that destroy, and even making an attempt or an effort, no matter how grand it is, it shows that you're trying to push for the betterment of the world, essentially, because we're all connected.
Dan is alluding to another lesson you've given to us, and that's that reciprocity is a whole system, not limited to a single relationship. Everyone lives downstream. That gifts continue to be passed around in a gift economy. So in closing, I would like to play something our professor Kilo Zamora said in our circle on the last day of class.
And the class also had some external lows, this from the outside world looking in, that were harsh. Like, even as we began the class, there were things happening in the world that were like breathing on the napes of our necks that we came in with. And then, like, how do you find and struggle with the privilege of being in a classroom in higher education and hold space for the suffering of our entire planet? And yet, somewhere in that is the drive forward did have a lot to do with our joy. Like, there is something about dismantling oppression that comes from our engagement in very consensual, but I think very thoughtful creation of joy and the erotic. And I loved our reframing of things like weeds, and thinking of us as weeds, and like owning the language of what that means to us, and wanting to know like what it means to not only decolonize, but de-domesticate, like move into a more wild self. I have exponential hope about where you'll take that great practice that you've grown, and think about how it's going to make, like I said on the very first day, a contribution to see another species make the important leap beyond the Anthropocene. And I can't think of a better way of us becoming mothers and fathers and that our actions was a contribution to a species beyond our own, that survived, and that we can think the little acts that we did all turned into one bigger act that allowed the salamanders to make it across the road in Kimmer's book. And that maybe the people who run them over by seeing our acts will stop and think again and wonder, when will their hands become in motion?
Thank you for sharing your gifts. For me, you shouldn't have. Thank you for teaching us the importance of gratitude. And lastly, the impact of sharing whatever our gifts may be with the world. Thank you.